Good to see everyone here this morning. We are going to, as you see on the screen behind me, talk about how we can break free from strongholds that Satan may have in our lives. And I am afraid that many of us, we allow Satan to take up residence in our life. We allow him to control us in certain areas. Now, I'm not saying that that affects everything that we think or everything that we do, but maybe there's some part of your life that you have refused to give to the Lord, that you refuse to take control of, and that you're still allowing Satan to affect you there and to manipulate you and to lead you to do things that are wrong. And so we're going to talk this morning about breaking free from Satan's stronghold. Jeff read earlier John the 8th chapter, beginning there in verse 27 and going down through verse 36. You know, Jesus said that the truth will make you free. And it is true that we can become enslaved to sin. Well, who is enslaved to sin? Those who practice sin. So we need to be aware of that and the need to break free. If you have your Bibles, I'd like, and I hope that you do, by the way, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be studying from that context this morning. Breaking free from Satan's strongholds. How do we go about doing that? Well, we need to first of all realize we are at war. We are at war with a real enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12, there we are told about the real enemy that we face. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of spiritual darkness. We are at war, and we need to understand that. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, the devil is like a roaring lion, walking about, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is active, and we are at war with a real enemy. We need to understand that. And the book of John chapter 10 and verse 10 says that Satan wants to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now that's what he's trying to do to you and to me. He's after us. He's striving to steal and to kill and to destroy. But we need to realize God has given us what we need to fight off Satan and to pull down any stronghold that he may have in our life and to defeat him, of course, in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, where that passage is referencing pulling down strongholds, is dealing with the truth and the power of the truth to be able to take apart false doctrine and error that people are teaching. Well, certainly it also has power to take down Satan's strongholds in our own life. So we need to recognize the power that Christ has given us through His Word. Now I ask you, is there some part of your life that you've given over to Satan, that you've allowed Satan to take up residence? You know, let's say that I own 10 acres of property. And you came along and you said, you know, I need a place to stay. So I gave you a place right in the middle of that property. And I let you go in there and I let you set up a place to stay, and you began to trash it up. And you just got to messing up. Now, in order to get your piece of property that I gave you, you got to go across my property. And you throw your trash out of your truck and you just mess it up wherever you go in. And you get to venturing out around other parts of the property and you mess things up that I don't want you messing up. And I tell you to get out. And you're going to say to me, no, you gave me this piece of property, and I'm not leaving. You know, you're going to have to take action to legally remove, or I'm going to have to take legal action to remove you from my property. We can do that with Satan too. Understand this. Satan is not going to take any part of your life that you don't give him. In Ephesians 4 and verse 27, we find this passage, nor give place to the devil. Satan cannot take anything that you don't give him, that you don't surrender to him. And once we give Satan a little bit of room, guess what? He's going to hold on to that, and we can say, Satan, get out. What's he going to say to you? What's he going to tell you? Is he just going to pick up and leave easily? I'll tell you, friend, once you give Satan an inch, he's going to try to take a mile, and he's not going to back down easily. It's not easy to get Satan out of your life, and I think most of us know that. When we yield into temptation, when we allow him to come into our life,
he is very difficult to get rid of. Well, in this context, we're going to note five things that we can do to eradicate Satan from our lives, to get rid of him for good. And we need to apply these things to our life. Look at Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 20 with me. Notice what Paul says there, "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, I'm going to tell you there are four things in this passage right here that we need to do, that we need to practice to get Satan out of our life. Four things. First of all, there in verse 21, Paul says, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus." Now, what did we read earlier in the Scripture reading in John chapter 8 and verse 32? "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You must have the truth of God. You must have the truth. Now, understand, Jesus, as He's saying, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Satan is just the opposite of that. Friend, Satan is not of the truth. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. And by the way, that's in the same context. So John 8:32, you should know the truth. In John 8:44, Satan is the father of all lies. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, Satan is deceitful. And Satan transforms himself into something that he is not, doesn't he? He transforms himself into an angel of light. In verse 3 it says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Satan deceived Eve. Satan is trying to deceive you. Satan is the father of lies and the great deceiver. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Jesus Christ provides the means of escape from Satan. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And as Jesus says, "If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed." Sin enslaves. But through Jesus Christ, we can be set free. We can be set free from our obedience to the truth and being forgiven of our sins. But not just the act of being forgiven of our sins. Guess what? Jesus gives us also what we need to overcome that temptation and to live holy lives. To live a life that is free from the bondage of Satan. We must set our course to walk in the truth. We must set our goal to serve the Lord, to walk in accordance to the things which He has revealed. In Psalms 86 and verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth." You know, the psalmist doesn't say, I'll give it my best shot to walk in your truth. He says, I'm just trying to walk in your truth, and if I fail, well, so what? But he says, "I will walk in your truth." You know, that takes dedication. That implies a decision that was made. And he says, "Unite my heart to fear your name. I will walk in your truth and unite my heart to fear your name." It takes respect of God. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, "Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth." We need to purify our souls and continue in that. John says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that you walk in the truth." So we need the truth, and we need to walk in the truth. We need to set our course. We need to make up our minds. We're going to follow God's Word. Secondly, notice what Paul says in verse 22 of Ephesians 4. "That you put off concerning your former conduct." So we walk in truth. We set our mind to truth. We hear the truth. We learn the truth and obey the truth. Now we need to set our mind to put off something. "Put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Satan again there, he is lying to us. He's saying, "Oh, everything's going to be okay. You can live like this and it's not going to hurt you. You can continue in this particular sin and it's not going to bother you. Oh, you can give me just this little piece of ground and it's not going to affect the rest of you." Well, that's just not the truth. Satan is a great deceiver. We need to put off, concerning our former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt, according to the deceitful lust. In Colossians 3 and verse 8, there, the parallel text, the Apostle Paul says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. These are the activities of the old man. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, beginning back up in verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. You've put these things off. Now you live that way. We are to turn away from sin and resolve to no longer practice it. We are to repent. We are to put these things off. Put these things out of our life. We're to kick Satan out of our life. Repent. We are to turn away from sin and resolve to no longer practice it. That's what repentance is. Ezekiel 18, verses 30-32. You know, it's interesting when you read this text. I think, by the way, this is one of the best texts in the Old Testament explaining and defining what repentance is. Repentance is the turning away from sin, ceasing to practice it. Notice in verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways. Thus says the Lord, repent and turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, for why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in him who dies, for the death of him who dies, saith the Lord. Therefore turn and live. We're to turn away from sin. We're to cast it away from us. Displace sin in our life. We are to lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And we must put to death the deeds of the body if we want to live. Romans 8 verses 12 through 14. The carnal mind is enmity with God. And those who walk in that carnal mind, they cannot be friends of God. It's impossible. So we are to put off the old man with his deeds. We are to displace these things. We're to break free from Satan's stronghold by putting him out. Jesus calls for radical amputation. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 8 and 9, Jesus there tells us that if our eye offends us, what are we to do with it? Pluck it out. If our hand offends us, if our hand causes us to stumble, what are we to do? If our foot causes us to stumble, he says you're to cut those things off. Radical amputation. Jesus saw sin as a serious, serious matter. And so are we. We're to put these things off, put these things away. So we must put off sin. Resistance. Paul goes on, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we go from putting these things off. We resolve not to do these things anymore. Now we're to change the way that we think about those things. We are to change the way we view temptation and sin. We are to change the way that we view the life of Satan that Satan has brought about in us. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, instead of being pressed into the image of this world, instead of being conformed to this world's image, we are to be transformed. Now, how does that take place? How do we become transformed? And how do we resist being conformed to this world's image? Well, the only way that we can resist is to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to change the way that we think about the things of God and the things of this world. First of all, in James 4 and verse 7, we're told to submit to God, draw near to God, and resist the devil. What will the devil do to us or with us if we resist him after we've drawn near to God? He will flee. But we first must draw near to God. Because, to be honest with you, the power to get rid of Satan is not in me and it's not in you. I don't have the power, I don't have the authority in and of myself to say, Satan, get out. I need God's authority, God's power. I need to be in fellowship with God. Then and only then do I have the authority to say, Satan, get out. You see, he's more powerful than I am alone. I have to have God's help in this matter. Resistance, as if you're a Star Wars buff, you know, the board would say, resistance is futile. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, without God, we are helpless against Satan. We have to have God in our life. We have to draw near to Him. Draw near to God, resist the devil, and He'll flee from you. Drawing near to God comes first. Being steadfast in the faith, 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Listen, if I am to resist Him being steadfast in the faith, it is my faith in Jesus Christ. It is what God provides me that I am able to resist Satan. And Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 11, Jesus Christ resisted the temptations of Satan by appealing to the Word of God, by appealing to the faith. And we can do the same thing. We can appeal to the faith once and for all delivered to the saints, and we can resist Satan. We can say no to Satan through what God provides us. We must be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that is through the truth of God's Word, by the way. By changing the way that we think. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we're told there that we are to think on these things. Think on that which is noble, whatsoever thing is just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We need to change the way that we think and upon the things that we think. We need to set our mind on the things of God, friend. We need to set our mind on the things that God has revealed to us. Set our minds on the truth. Focus on the truth. And then we will be able to resist Satan. But not until then. So, we need the truth, number one. We need to then kick him out. And then we need to renew our mind so that we can resist him. You know, there's something else that we need to do. Not just kick him out and renew our mind, but we need to fill up that void. We need to fill up that void. You know, the Scripture says in Romans 13, verses 13 and 14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't give any room for Satan. Fill it up with the things of God. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on that new man. Let me tell you, when we refuse to do that, or we fail to do that, we leave a place for Satan to take up habitation in our life. To set up a stronghold. And to take over our life. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4 talks about the new man that was created in baptism. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death. And there's a new man that's created. In fact, in this passage in Ephesians 4, in verse 24, that you put on the new man which was created. Was, that's past tense. Was created according to God. God forgave you of your sins and you were raised out of the waters of baptism a new man in Christ. Now, from that point on, there's a process. We must continue to put on the new man and continue to grow spiritually, adding the things that God had provides for us that we may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan. We are to leave no vacancy, no place for the devil, no pocket of rebellion, no place for corruption or immorality where Satan can rebuild his influence. In fact, here in Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to think about this with me real quick. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, he says, therefore put away lying. Let each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Oh, what about a little white lie? What about just a little white lie? And is there anything really wrong with a little white lie? Well, let me tell you. When you give Satan an inch, how much is he going to want to take? Just a little white lie. Of course, with God, a lie is a lie, right? But we justify it in our minds. We're saying, well, this is just a little thing. Well, let me tell you, you give Satan just a little bit, he's going to take more than that. In fact, he goes on, he says, be angry and do not sin. You know, anger gives place to Satan. We allow anger. Now, there's nothing wrong with being angry at the right thing. We're to be angry with sin. We're to be angry in the right way. Be angry and sin not, we're told. But anger, okay, gives him a little place to come in if we're angry at the wrong things. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, Paul says, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. What's the difference between stealing a 15-cent pencil and stealing $150,000 from your employer? What's the difference? If we steal just a little bit, just something small, you think Satan's going to take advantage of that? Don't give him an inch. Leave no place, leave no vacancy for the devil. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, verse 29. Don't give Satan an opportunity. We need to leave him no room at all to come in, because he is looking, always looking for a door to stick his foot in so that he can get in a little bit. And once he's in a little, he can begin his work of destruction. We must put off the old man and put on the new man. Colossians 3 verses 10 through 17. Thus, we are to fill up what we've kicked out. In fact, in Matthew chapter 12, that passage, I think that illustrates the point very well. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45, notice regarding the man who had a demon removed. Listen, verse 43, it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from whence I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept and put out, put in order. Okay, so he's gone out of this man's life. Talking about temptation. Okay, you said, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore, so I repent of that. I kick you out, Satan. I'm done with this. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm changing my mind about this. So you clean everything up and you clean your life up. But what happens if you don't fill that void? It says in verse 45, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than the first, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. You may clean out a spot, kick him out, and you don't fill it back up. Well, listen, you're just leaving room for Satan to come back in and do more harm later. You need to fill it up. We must put off the old man and put on the new man. In fact, there in Colossians chapter 3, we're told the things that we're to put on. In fact, if we do this, I assure you, you're leaving no room for Satan. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, this is Colossians 3 and verse 12, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. So, put on these things. And it goes on, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, verse 17. So we put off the old man and put on the new man, leaving no room for Satan to come in and take up shop in our life. We need to occupy that voided territory. Then, let's go on in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. The Apostle Paul tells us how we are to fortify ourselves then against Satan and against his efforts to come back in and overtake us later. Because he's not going to give up. Because you've kicked him out, and because you've changed your mind about him, and because you've taken up residency and filled up the things, the void where he was, that doesn't mean he's going to quit, because he's not. He's just going to keep coming back. He's going to keep trying. He's going to keep trying. He's going to keep trying. He's going to continue to look for another door, another opening to come in. So how do we fortify ourselves against Satan? Against his re-attempt to come back in and destroy our life? In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, Wednesday night, we talked about this passage a little bit. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord. We need to depend upon the Lord. And the word wait there, wait on the Lord. That doesn't mean that we sit down on a stump and wait for the Lord to do everything He's promised us that He's going to do. What that means is that we are continually in service and obedience to Him, trusting Him, obeying Him, knowing that He is going to provide what He's promised. So we're continually serving, we're continually obeying Him. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's not in my might that I'm strong against Satan. It's in the Lord's might that I'm strong against Satan. And that's the only way that I can fortify myself against him. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're told that we're to be imitators of God. And we're not going to read through this, and we're not going to exegete this whole chapter. But notice some of the things that the Apostle Paul says. I want to hit some of the highlights. In Ephesians 5 and verse 1, Paul says that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. Friend, if we're imitating God, if we're truly following God, becoming more and more like God, we're building up our resistance against Satan, aren't we? We are fortifying ourselves against him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, we're to be like God in the sense that we're to be holy. Be ye holy as God is holy. So we are to imitate God as dear children. We are to take upon ourselves the characteristics of God. And then, in chapter 5 and verse 2, we're told to walk in love. In verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We are to walk in love. If we walk in love, we fortify ourselves against the attacks of Satan. And then Paul says that we are to walk as children of light. So we're to imitate God, we're to walk in love, and we're to walk as children of light. Chapter 5 and verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you're a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we are to exhibit our imitation of God and our love by showing others the love that Christ has for us. We are to walk as light. We are to reflect His light. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. We are to reflect His light in us. In 1 John 1 verses 5 through 7, we're to walk in the light as He is in the light. We're to walk in the light. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 through 10, we're to add to our faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, the temperance patience, the patience godliness, the godliness brotherly kindness, the brotherly kindness charity. If these things are in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It'll make us so that we will never fall, Peter goes on to say. So we walk as children of light. We add these things to our life and we become good examples for others. We manifest the light of God in our life. And we walk circumspectly. Well, this is an important one. Ephesians 5 and verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We are to walk carefully. And you know, sometimes people think, well, you're just a right-wing religious fanatic. Well, so be it. That's all right. If they want to think that about me, fine. But listen, I'd much rather be safe than sorry. I'd much rather be safe than sorry. I'd rather be doing what I know is right, what I know is in the light, than to flirt with temptation. That's not wise, to flirt with temptation. We are to walk circumspectly. We're to be careful. We are to make certain that what we do is right in the sight of God. And when we do that, when we walk circumspectly, then we are shielding ourselves from pitfalls. We're making sure that every step is secure. We're shining the light where we walk. We're taking God's Word and we're shining His light in front of us so that we know the path that we're walking. We know that it's right. We know that He's pleased with us. So in that sense, we're fortifying ourselves. We're not going to get off course that way, are we? We're going to walk where God wants us to walk. And we're to accept God's appointed stations in life. Now, that has to do with, in chapter 5, you have wives submitting themselves to their husbands. You have husbands taking the headship of the home. You have husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Then you have children obeying their parents in the Lord, for this is right, Ephesians 6 and verse 1. You have bondservants being obedient to their masters. You have masters being obedient to the Lord. You have all these stations in life. Colossians 3, 18 through chapter 4 and verse 1. These same stations of life are mentioned. And we're to walk in those appointed stations. It's when we become dissatisfied with those functions, with those stations of life, that we set ourselves up for Satan's inhabitants and for him to come back in and make havoc of our life. We're to accept God's appointed stations. And finally, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 18, we're to put on the whole armor of God. And that's what he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Finally, that means after all that I've said, now here's the key. Listen, you do this. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You want to stand against Satan? You put on that whole armor of God. You put on, as he says there in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. In verse 14, having girded your waist with what? Truth. That's where we began the study this morning. Truth. We need the truth. And we are then to take that truth and we're to apply it to our life, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And we're to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always in prayer and supplication. Our lines of communication is always open with God. So we're to fortify, and we can fortify ourselves against Satan. Listen, Satan is an enemy that's wanting to destroy us. He's wanting to destroy you. He's wanting to destroy me. And sadly, too often he succeeds. And we need to do everything that we can to withstand his power. So we're to appeal to truth. The truth will make us free. That's what Jesus said. We need the truth. We need to displace Satan. We need to kick him out of our lives. All the things that he uses to tempt us with, we need to turn our back on those things. Is there any place in your life that Satan has a stronghold? Is there some temptation that you have a lot of trouble with? Is there some secret thing in your life that you have not done away with, that you've not given over to the Lord, that you've not surrendered? You need to get rid of that. Resistance. You need to renew your mind. You need to learn to think as God would have you to think. Think right. Think in accordance with the truth that you've learned. And then you need to fill up the void where you kick Satan out of your life. Fill it up with something good. Spend your time and your energy doing those things which God would have you to do. Serve the Lord. Put on the new man with his deeds. And then fortify yourself. Add the things to your life that God provides for you, that you can be strong. And you can be strong against the Lord. But you're not going to be strong against the Lord if you don't grow in Christ. You're not going to be strong against Satan if you refuse to add the things that God has provided into your life. It's just not going to happen. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in Satan's grasp. Maybe he has a stronghold on you. Maybe there's some sin that you've not repented of. And you're a Christian and you're still committing this sin. Listen, you need to break free from that. And you can. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can break out of Satan's grasp. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, what you need to do is hear the truth. Believe the truth and obey the truth. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of your sins. That is, resolve not to continue in those. To stop sinning. And be buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. And be raised to walk with Him in newness of life. Free. Free from sin. And then continue to grow in Christ. That you may fortify yourself against Satan's attempts to destroy you. Because Satan wants to destroy you. He's the great deceiver. And too many times he gets people to thinking, well, there's no harm in this. Or there's no sense in acting right now. There's no sense in putting this off right now. I've got plenty of time. Satan's a great deceiver. Don't listen to him. Break free today. And you'll know the peace and the joy that comes from being free from Satan. If you're here this morning and there's anything that we can do to help you in your obedience to the gospel, won't you come? As together we stand and sing the Psalms been selected.